Hi, welcome to New Zealand Vegan Podcast episode 102. I know that this is a surprise because I said I wasn't going to do my podcast anymore. The announcement that I have to make before I get going is that the Vegan Education Radio podcast is going to be hosted by Renata Peters and Tim Putnam from the Alice Springs Vegan Society. They live together and they do the street stall together and they do everything together, advocacy and everything. So it makes a lot of sense for them to do the Vegan Education Radio podcast. They're both very experienced vegan educators. So they will be doing that. And because I'm going to shrivel up and die if I don't podcast, I'm going to do my vegan, NZ Vegan podcast again. We do have one episode that I did with Renata Peters of the Vegan Education Radio podcast. And I'm not quite sure what's happening with a couple of the other episodes that we recorded. There's one I'm going to sort of get in touch with them and see what they're going to do with them. Maybe I'll post them here or if they post them there. Because we did an episode on meat-free Mondays that I really want to post. So that's that. And I have another disclaimer before I get going on my sort of new podcast series that I'm restarting. I know that in a lot of my older podcasts, I mentioned a lot of people, and there are some podcast episodes I never want to publish. Like, I don't want to repost them because they mention people who are now openly hostile to abolition, or they've completely changed and they're new welfarist and things. And then if you go to the podcast and then you go to their website or whatever, when I mention it, it's like, oh, what's going on? So, I mean, I really did think that, I mean, it's not everyone that I've mentioned, but there's definitely, I just want to say that I don't necessarily support the work of every single person I've mentioned on the podcast. Things change, obviously. I'm sure people know that. But I've decided that in the interest of longevity, the only person I'm going to promote is Gary Francione. He's the only person I really trust to promote. He's in 10 years' time, I'm not going to regret having promoted him. This is his work. So, of course, I'll mention links and, you know, and lots of the people are still doing great abolitionist work and they're out there doing it. But just for my own sanity, I'm only going to promote Gary Francione. I'm just more comfortable doing that. And then because I can't go through all the 101 episodes and edit out all the people who are now like hostile to abolition or who are new welfarist or whatever, undermining abolition in other ways. And there's plenty of really good people in there. And anyway, it would just take me forever because my podcasts are really rambling and I would have to listen to every single one all the way through to try to remember. And there's no point, but that's my new thing. So I'm just going to stick to that. So all the advocates, you know, I know you're out there and you're all doing really great work and you know if you're doing it and that's great. So this is my new episode and I've been dying to do an episode. It really stresses me out when I can't podcast because my best way of getting all of the stuff off my chest is by talking. That's why I love doing a street stall. And I also don't have a lot of luck in written communication with people. It seems to not work for me very well at all. So this episode, I want to address something that's been really coming to the forefront because now that the dialogue has really changed and there is an established abolitionist movement and it's really out there, it's really cool that the dialogue has changed to the point. So now I'm addressing sort of new things that are coming out from people and rather than the same old, you know, you don't care about the animals who are suffering now, or welfare works, it's helping animals now. I mean, there's not as much of that anymore, or at least it's a lot less. There are now new things coming out because people are starting to see the sense of abolition. There's so many people out there promoting it, the ideas and the theory that a lot of people are new vegans are seeing it for the first time, and that was just the beautiful thing about it. And so, but their questions are still a lot of the questions center now rather than opposing vegan advocacy, although there's still plenty of that. A lot of the questions now that I really want to encourage dialogue about is to do with vegan advocacy. A lot of the questions center around vegan advocacy now, which is really great. It's just such a welcome change. So the issue that I want to bring up that I see a lot and that I really feel is important to address and try to get people to understand my point of view and other abolitionists' point of view, I'm sure, or at least I've seen them say it, is that there's a lot of people who say we want to promote veganism, but we want to just get people, get our foot in the door, they sort of say, or they want to like, we just want some way of getting people's attention. So they want to focus on just the diet and the health aspect of veganism. And I object to that being the starter of the conversation for the same reason that I object to anything but promoting, you know, veganism is not a diet, first of all, and also it's a social justice issue. The thing is the argument that I get often with people is the same kind of arguments that we used to get when people would talk about people being against vegan education, like, oh, you can't talk to people about veganism, they're just going to run away. And that's not true. And now people are seeing that it's not true because more people are doing it and more people are trying it, and they're realizing that, oh, people are actually interested in talking about it. But they say, well, we can't present it as this moral issue because that's going to turn people away. So all of a sudden, no, veganism is not going to turn people away, but if you make it a moral issue, that's going to turn them away. This is the new kind of objection. So we have to try to get their attention somehow. And what I don't understand is, look, as someone who does a street stall, which is the only chance I really get to really talk to people about veganism face to face, which is why I love doing it so much. I much prefer it to online advocacy myself, but that's only because I don't come across very well in written communication. That's just my downfall. There are other people who are really good at written communication and come across really well, and they do it well. I'm not one of them, so I prefer being out there talking to people face to face. And as a vegan advocate who's done that, who's doing that, and who's been doing it for a couple, 3 years, and really, you know, seeing the sort of the patterns, you are not going to scare away health-interested people who are really interested in their health and who are really concerned about their diet. You're not going to scare them away by talking about veganism as a moral matter. The minute that you engage with someone in a conversation about veganism, first of all, there's nothing that you can do, no matter even if you tried to avoid talking about diet. You cannot avoid it, even if you wanted to. And I'm not saying avoid talking about diet. Those people who are interested in the health aspect of veganism are going to go and have their interest piqued and are going to do their research and are going to find out all the benefits if that's the kind of mindset that they are, if that's the kind of avenue that they care about, you know, they're really worried about their health, and then that's going to be presented to them. Jebby's just being rather frisky. Sorry if you heard that noise. That's going to be presented to them when they're going to go down that avenue anyway. When you talk to them about veganism as a moral matter, because when you talk to people about veganism, you get them interested in veganism. If they're health oriented people and diet oriented people, you're definitely going to have that conversation with them anyway, with the baseline of the morality of animal use, because there is no conversation hardly at all that I've had with someone about veganism that has not ended up talking about diet, because the vast, vast majority of our animal use as individuals and collectively is using them for food. The biggest change, daily constant change that you experience when you go vegan is what you eat. That's the most prevalent constant change, because it's the biggest use. It's the biggest, most sort of obvious use. So you're going to talk about these things, and you can totally mention to them and discuss with them about how, hey, look, if you don't believe me, that's fine, go do your research, but it's actually really healthy, and it's really delicious, and it's, you know, it's been shown to actually help people with diseases and things. You can mention that. But don't start with that. I object to people starting the dialogue by completely overlooking the victims, because that's what you're doing. You're overlooking those victims and you're avoiding the issue of injustice, and you're going straight to the self-interest of the person. And I disagree with that, because if just like with vegan advocacy in general, if we don't do that, if we don't get that dialogue going, who is going to do that? nobody's going to do it. There are plenty of people out there who are promoting vegan diets as health things, or promoting a plant-based diet or a mostly plant-based diet, or all these kinds of things as health-based things. They're out there doing it. I'm grateful to anyone who provides good scientific information about how it's healthy and things like that. I mean, I'm glad. But, you know, if the vegan advocates, the animal rights advocates, aren't out there presenting the moral baseline, the word is moral, of animal use being immoral, if we don't do that, nobody else will. And then so you can't turn around and say, well, you know, that's going to turn people off because it's too extreme. And it's like, well, you're not helping to make it an easier dialogue for us to get out there in the community if you're going to reject doing it and you're going to try to avoid it completely. And so what people say is they want to talk to people about diet, and then later on, those people, they'll develop this compassion that will come, and they will change their attitude towards all animals. Now, I'm not saying that's not true, but what I'm saying is those people, you can start the dialogue with the morality and the injustice and the victims, and they may go vegan even faster than they already were, although I hesitate to make any projections because it's all, you know, every individual does what they do. But you're presenting them with way more. You're not overlooking the victims. We have an obligation to those victims, and you're not going to turn those people away. And the bottom line is, nowadays, depending on what community you live in, for example, the community that I live in, there is most of the vegan advocacy that's done in New Zealand now, and there's more of it being done recently, is based around health. The New Zealand Vegan Society is primarily based pretty much all about diet and health. All their publications, everything they talk about to people, it's all focused on diet and health. And I'm sure that they mentioned somewhere along the line about the victims. On as an overview, when I've picked up some of their publications or things, I don't see it. And so I don't agree with that, but the bottom line is that's all out there anyway. So those of us who purport to be rights advocates and who purport to be a voice for animals and who really want to wake people up to this social change so that they go vegan and stay vegan, because as we know, a lot of people who, first of all, a diet, you could cheat on a diet, and a lot of people who are into health, they're not, you know, They have been told that you have to eat a certain amount of this or a certain amount of that, and so they can go and find some sort of health evidence to the contrary if they really, really want to. They can go out there and find some sort of evidence to the contrary about whether or not a full, you know, a proper plant-based diet is as good for you as we say. And there's but they can't. There's no evidence to the contrary. There's no evidence. I mean, there's plenty of attempts at justification, but there's no evidence to the contrary about the fundamental truths of justice and nonviolence and oppression and exploiting the vulnerable. And, you know, once you wake that up in people, that is where we want people to go. That is what is going to change things. Not this fad diet, not the celebrities who are on these so-called vegan diets, but they eat fish every now and then, or, you know, someone who you're trying to sort of say it's all about you and your health. So those people, the people who care about their health and the people who are going to eat a plant-based diet because they the information resonates with them, you're not going to miss those people if you're out there advocating for veganism as a moral issue and as more than a diet. I disagree entirely that you're going to miss those people out. And I think that it's actually wrong to push the victims aside in an attempt to try to get a dialogue going with someone in the hopes that later on, you know, you can then have that conversation with them. That should be the first conversation that you have with them. And like I said, get out there and talk to people about veganism, and you're going to talk about food and obviously diet, and you're going to make your case about how it's healthy. I don't try to convince people that it is healthiest. I don't try to convince people that it cures this and that disease. I say, I've heard this, you know, there's evidence that diabetes has been reversed. You review it. I just try to convince people that it's healthy, that you can live healthfully. You can live in a healthy way. You can still exercise. If you're an athlete, you can be an athlete. If you are, if you're a yoga person or a dancer, you can be a dancer. And that goes with every other aspect. There's, you know, the shoes that are required to be a dancer, dance shoes and things. This is information that people need to hear. But the fundamental baseline baseline of your conversation with them, the overreaching, overriding tenet, sort of theme of the conversation should always be that it's wrong to do this to these animals, and that we have no right, therefore, to exploit them in any way at all. And, you know, we can get that dialogue going. That is the dialogue that we need to have going about veganism. I don't believe that the health dialogue is really going to resonate that much, because we all know that smoking causes cancer, and yet people still smoke. And we all know, you know, people know that red meat, you know, is bad for you. I mean, that's pretty common knowledge. But people will go out and have a treat every now and then, or so they think, you know. So, you know, I just think it's our job to not be scared to make this a moral, social justice movement. And, you know, we can do it. Look how far we've already come. We can have that conversation with people. We can do that. And it ought to be the baseline of all your conversations about veganism, that you are, when you are out there. Now, you're not always given the opportunity to be in control of the conversation as you can be when you're out there actually advocating. This is why I really encourage people to get out there and advocate. I really encourage community advocation, community advocacy, which is obviously, I mean, that's just a given, because then you're setting the precedent. You're the one with the social justice issue that you're bringing to people's attention. You don't always get an opportunity to make that the central part of the conversation. If someone approaches you and just asks for a vegan recipe or something, somebody that you know at work or something like that. But the people that I know at work know that it's a moral issue as far as I'm concerned. They don't always give me an opportunity to talk about it that way. When they ask for a vegan recipe, I might not be able to create a conversation about morality with them in that moment. But if the issue is ever presented, or if I'm ever asked a question or about animal use, I let people know the reason I don't drink that cow's milk isn't because I don't want to get diabetes. Although, of course, I don't want to get diabetes, but that's not the reason why. That's not the main reason why I'm not drinking it. The main reason why I'm not drinking it is because I think it's wrong to hurt those innocent animals and slaughter their babies and them and slaughter them and exploit them. That's the reason why I don't drink cow's milk. So if asked, that's the answer they're going to get. Not the fact that it's pus and it's disgusting and it's full of animal protein and that's why I'm not doing it. No, they can find all that stuff out, but and I'm happy to tell them all that stuff as well. But the first thing they're going to find out, the first thing, you know, we need to be setting that precedent even more now. And I mean, I know most people are, a lot of people are, but it's true that it sort of seems like we're never satisfied, you know. The abolitionists are never satisfied. Well, I'm not going to be satisfied unless everybody is sort of unequivocally standing up for the rights of these victims. And so I want people to be abolitionist advocates. Abolition is about nonviolence. It's about all discrimination. One of the things I love about the abolitionist approach is it's beyond veganism. I've kind of just, I love thinking of it that way. It's beyond veganism. If you look at Gary Francione's work and you look at even just at his website at a glance, or some of the quotes that he says, it ties in all discrimination. Abolitionist approach is veganism as a moral baseline, but it's not limited to veganism. The abolitionist approach isn't just about veganism. It's about all discrimination, with nonviolence as the baseline, veganism being the baseline of that, because you can't be nonviolent and not be vegan, obviously. And so it goes beyond that, but this is a social justice issue, and we just have to be really careful not to try to take the easy way out again with people, and or be scared of making this a moral issue with people. Don't be afraid to use those words. Don't be afraid to challenge people on those words, because that is what we really want this dialogue to be about. Because you can have a 50-page argument with somebody about the health benefits of a plant-based diet, and you're not really going to get anywhere with them. I mean, I know that you can say that you can have a 50-page argument with someone about the immorality of animal use, and they could try to waste your time or whatever. They might not be interested in that, but if you look at the arguments, they're really different, because when you understand abolition and you understand the approach about how it's all about personhood and it's all about sentience being the moral baseline, it's hard for people to justify it. I mean, trust me, at the street stall, when I'm talking to people about animal use and we're talking about diet, I'm very quick to say to them, listen, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm not a dietary expert, I for that kind of nutritional advice, here's a pamphlet, here's a guide, do your research. But I said, you know, the bottom line is, when you go vegan, you figure out how to live as a vegan, and you'll be, I say to them, listen, I really think you're going to be pleasantly surprised, because personally, my health improved. This is true in my case, and in the case of the vast majority of vegans that I know. In fact, I don't actually personally know any vegans, even including online people. I don't know anybody whose health suffered from going vegan. I really don't. Now, I've seen comments by people who claim that, I haven't had any interaction with, and for all I know, you know, they could have had some health effects from cutting out or becoming vegan or whatever situation they encountered. I can say that when I first went vegan, my body went through a change. Just like when I quit smoking, my body went through a change. I actually got very sick when I quit smoking cigarettes for about 6 months to a year. I had just horrible, because I was detoxing. It was really awful. That was when I quit smoking from like full time. I didn't manage to quite give up cigarettes. It took me a long time to give up cigarettes after that. Although I'd like to think that if I'd known that, you know, if I'd gone vegan, right, when I was still smoking, right, and then I learned as a vegan who went vegan because people woke me up to the justice, you know, the social justice issue, and if I had realized that cigarettes were not vegan, I'm sure I would have been able to give it up. I mean, it's when you allow yourself to really take a good look at what's happening as a result of these issues, rather than just, oh, it's animal protein, it's bad for my, you know, it's bad for my arteries. You know, that is not, it's not enough. And it, besides, it skips all other animal use, and it overlooks the victims. You know, we have no right to overlook them, to pass them by, to push them to the side, to make them an afterthought. They need to be first, foremost, and center. And if nobody else is going to do it, we have to do it. So I know that there are people out there who are still going to just promote. Their whole way of trying to talk to people is going to be about diet and health. And I don't really know if I can ever convince them not to do that. They'll turn around and say, well, I went vegan for health reasons, and look at me now. I'm a vegan. I'm actually vegan, and I'm an animal rights advocate. So, you know, but that argument really doesn't hold. That's not a valid enough point to dispute the fact that this is a social justice issue, and there are victims involved, and we can't turn away from that. There's really no excuse for it, and I think that it's sort of unfair to try to, just like it is about vegan advocacy, so many people object to vegan advocacy, saying you're going to scare people away, you have to get people a bit worried about the cages, and then you can work your way up. Once they worry about the cages, you can work your way up to worrying about the, I don't know, the type of slaughter or the country they're slaughtered in, and then you later on you can, and then you slowly, slowly, and baby steps. You know, and then eventually you'll get them to where they'll worry about veganism, and they'll realize that it's all wrong and stuff. They'll say, that's how I became vegan. And I said, no, you became vegan because you learned about veganism. You became vegan because you learned about veganism. That's how you became vegan. That's how we all became vegan. Okay? I just really think that's true. I think we're deluding ourselves if we think that, I mean, I don't know anyone who saw a cage-free egg campaign and then went vegan. I know people who went vegan because they saw some cage-free egg campaign, and then they had their consciences woken about chickens, and then they further investigated, and then finally, eventually, they saw something about veganism that finally said to them, hey, look over here, hello, all of this moral concern that you have, hello, this is the answer. Well, I I'm really sorry, but I believe in taking that thing that's been marginalized and being pushed to the side, and pushing it to the forefront all the time, constantly. I think if we do that enough, we're going to have this really powerful social change. It's going to come a lot faster than you think. We just have to get past the speciesism. We have to get past the reticence. We have to build up the courage to have difficult conversations with people and confront serious difficult conversations about morality and justice and things like that. But I tell you what, if you read Gary Francione's books, you're going to learn about moral personhood and the practical way to talk to people about it. In layman's terms, you're going to build up an arsenal of knowledge of how, this is a moral issue and that it can be discussed with people in that vein without compromise, but also you don't have to scare people away or insult people's intelligence or call people immoral necessarily. You have to be aware, be aware that it's a pervasive social norm. But there are so many things that used to be pervasive social norms that have been turned around by people standing up and making them a social justice issue, a social justice issue. If it was, it's just, we need, that should be up front and center. So I hope that that answered why I don't agree. And I just don't think there's any reason to try to start out a conversation with someone, to approach someone about veganism and try to focus on their health as being the reason that they ought to think about this, and then later on you can mention the victims to them. Or I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding what people are saying, but I don't think so, because that's basically what people have said. Is they've said, I'll use anything to talk to people about veganism, I'll use anything at all, and what I see is this sort of overriding I'm going to use the health issue number one up front and center. Well, like, so many people just don't care about their health and can't be bothered worrying about that. And you might say that heaps of people don't care about other animals and don't care about morality and things like that. I don't think that that's necessarily true. It's very easy to brush off health issues and just say, oh well, who cares, or my grandma ate meat and smoked cigarettes and drank whiskey till she was 80 and she's still going strong and blah 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 blah. But when you really tap into that part of people and challenge them on their morality, their actions, the fact that there are these victims that are victimized by their actions, that I do think that we're going to create a really powerful voice out there, and that's the voice that we need to be creating. Now, of course, it's going to be a reaction. There's going to be a lash back. There's going to be a fight back. There's going to be a result. People are going to fight back. I mean, any social justice movement, there's going to be a backlash. Okay, but that's just goes with the territory. Get ready, get ready for the backlash. There was a huge backlash and still is a huge backlash against the abolitionist movement by the welfarist movement. But we've already made so much headway because you know why? Because we're right. That's why. So when it comes to the immorality of animal use, we're right. And so let's get out there and make that the central focus. Don't be afraid to talk about it as an ethical issue, as a moral issue. You're going to run into philosophers who want to spend 50 hours talking about morality, and they have all these philosophy names and things like that. But your average person, when you just say to them, do you think it's wrong to hurt animals unnecessarily? And you keep it simple like that. They're going to say, yes, I think it's wrong. And then you say you need to go vegan because we don't need to use animals. And then they'll say, but what about protein? And there you go. There you've had your opening, and you're going to talk about diet and health and things like that. But the fundamental baseline, the thing you got them thinking about, the theme of your argument about the health, the baseline of your conversation about diet is that it's wrong to hurt other animals. And you remind them that it's not limited to diet. You can do it. We can do it. So I do disagree with that. I will never accept that we have to push the victims aside and try to talk focus people on their own health, because, you know, that's the way to reach more people, or that's the most effective way. I disagree that it's the most effective and that we're going to reach more people that way, because I think not only are we going to reach all those health people who really do care about their health with the argument about veganism, if we present it as a social justice issue, but we're going to reach people who don't give two hoots about health and who can't stand diet sort of fads or whatever, that the way that veganism is being presented. We're going to have a chance to reach those people as well, so that's my take on it. And I really have been wanting to say that, because this new thing has been coming up where it's, yes, we want to promote veganism, but we're going to focus on health because that's the way to do it. And we say, no, you know, don't do that. And then it's like, well, we reach more people that way. And that's the only, you know, I'm having a much better effect at getting people talking to me about it. And I'm like, you can still have that same conversation with that same person if you open their mind up about veganism, because you're going to talk about food anyway. And also, in the world we live in now, there's a lot of evidence out there that you know, red meat is bad and stuff like that. So these people are already, you know, if they're already investigating that, then it's just going to be a bonus when you talk to them about veganism. But I just bottom line don't think we have any right to compromise the victims. I really think we have to keep it about them. We have to keep it about them. They're real. They're there. And we have an obligation to them to do it. We really, really do. And I just think we can't underestimate how right we are and how important that is and how that's really going to change things. I really don't want people to get scared to have these conversations. I think that the we can create this beautiful, beautiful, you know, zeitgeist thought, this beautiful movement of nonviolence and opposing all discrimination. But I don't think we're going to get there by trying to focus people on diet and health. And then later on down the track, maybe, you know, we can say, oh, and, you know, by the way, you know, there's all these victims by the billion. I think they should be the first sort of foundation of all our conversations. I really do think they should. And in the beginning, it is, there may be backlash or people may turn away, but if we all do it, you'll see, because look what's happening now. So that's my plea to people, to please consider learning how to approach the issue as a moral issue that encompasses all animal use and all discrimination, all prejudice and violence, and learn about abolition and become an abolitionist advocate. And we're going to really, you know, do the best that we can. We have to hurry up, so we really can't dilly-dally around. So get out there and figure it out. So thanks so much for listening and for allowing me to come back into my podcast. And I will definitely be back. Bye.